1-800-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as European football comes back on the agenda alongside the transfer window. For Celtic, it is Bologna away with news that a new striker could finally be arriving. Rangers not got much to play for in the Europa League, but Ludogorets come to Ibrox tomorrow with Danny Rule not ruling out more signings before the end of the window. And in the bread and butter of the Scottish Premiership, a share of the spoils as St Mirren strike late to level up against Livingston. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, would you look at this, a Partick Thistle takeover. Who would have thought it? Tony Watt and Alex Ray. And before we go any further, yeah, if we get some, I thought this was going to be great. I thought you two would be best pals. You work together. But I've been told that you need to kiss and make up because Tony Watt was torturing you for your refereeing decisions yesterday.
Yeah, rightly so. I got a decision wrong, but sometimes I like to do it just to upset Tony. But he was losing at the five, so...
How much did his dummy come out, would you say?
Oh, unbelievable. He shut off as soon as the whistle went.
Spat it really right, quite some distance.
Yes. I'm expecting better things, but I'm pleased he's talking to me tonight, so... No, but it was good fun.
You two going
to
be okay?
Every toy came out the pram. Every single toy. And do you know what? I shouted at Al. And then after the game, I went, Al, sorry, we're losing. That's the main problem. He wasn't the problem. I had a bit of a little cry.
I wish I'd seen that, because as an experienced pro now, you should know better. But a leopard never changes his spots and all that. And as for you, I can just imagine how you took that.
No, listen, I'm usually quite good at it. I know how to manage with him. I just says, listen, Tony, I'm sorry, I think that was your free kick there. And then he goes, right, okay. And then he goes,
because when I arrived, Tony was in first and he said, I didn't know it was Al Ray I was on with. So there you go. We've got a Partick Thistle takeover of sorts. Partick Thistle fans, your big chance to come and grill the two of them. Ask them what's happening at the moment at 1419511025. This show does wonders for you. Anyway, you were here last Thursday, Saturday, 2 minutes on the clock, we scored another one. Is that Gordon Dale's trying to take some credit for that? He thinks he's hanging about with an experienced goal getter like him on a Thursday. Did you wonders on Saturday?
Do you know, I'm not surprised by that, because obviously last week everyone was taking credit for all the any point he was making, he was taking credit. But no, I woke up on Sunday or Monday and I seen I was in the Clyde One team of the week, and I showed my wife and I said, by the way, that's because I get invited back.
That's high praise. Me. He was banging on about how unwell he was last week, and then he goes and scores a double in the cup.
No, listen, it was important as well. It's important we try and get a cup run, Gordon, and bring in some valuable finances.
And I know you're both too professional to say that it's an easy draw. Of course it's not, but you got low league opposition in Elgin, and I know it's away, but... Well, we all agree it could have been worse. Okay,
without a doubt. Listen, I think you still have to go and do the business, and it's an opportunity for us to progress in the competition. The one thing about the manager, Mark, is he's really keen to progress. It was a real disappointment at the club last week when we lost in penalties to Inverness, so it was important to bounce back.
You do me a wee favour, though. Can you cough less than you did last week when you were on? Are you feeling any better?
See, since we went on air, my throat's just started getting tickly.
Oh, my goodness. I was hearing that in my sleep. Him and Gordon DL coughing and split. It's a miracle that I've not come down with something since then. Anyway, 01419511025. Great to have Tony Watt and Alex Ray with us. Partially wearing their Partick Thistle hats, but of course experienced across various aspects of the game here, and loads to get through tonight. But we need you to jump on board, so let's hear from you. It is the 21st edition of Celtic Search for a Striker. However, it does appear to be heading in the right direction, so we'll look at that. Potential incoming Celtic fans, is that one that you've looked into? Does that excite you? Does that make you feel a bit better about things? Is it heading in the right direction? What else do you still need to do? Get all your thoughts in. We'll actually go live to Italy as well and get the lowdown. We'll hear from Martin and Neil. Andrew McLean will tell us everything we need to know from the Celtic camp ahead of that one tomorrow. Because it's a strange one. It almost feels like, because the transfer window and the title race, it feels like Europe has become a bit forgotten. And especially for Celtic, who can go through, who could very conceivably go through in terms of the arithmetic. I know there's not loads of positivity around, but certainly could go through. So we'll get all the thoughts in ahead of that one. Similarly, you Rangers fans, again, wonder how you feel about it, because really no chance of going through, but everyone's banging on about coefficient points for the future and financial gain and all that stuff. So Danny Rule today saying he will go strong against Ludogorets tomorrow. And he was asked if he thought maybe Rangers could bring in a wow signing, whatever that may be, before the end of the window. Maybe a wee glint in his eye, said a few ifs, but maybe something could happen. What do you think about your transfer business as well? I did say the door was open to ask the guys anything about Partick Thistle, St Mirren fans, Livy fans. What did you make of last night? David Martindale not happy again about refereeing decisions. But I wonder how you view the picture at the bottom of the table. So give us a call right now, please, on 0141 951 1025. A busy old week this, isn't it?
Yeah, without doubt. It's a really important game last night, Gordon. Gogic's goal was vastly needed because obviously St Mirren were a bit of a tricky run at the moment, and the 89th minute, I watched the full game last night, and you know, it could have went either way. I think there was chances for both teams, and I think a point probably was deserved in the end for both teams, but I don't really think it helps anyone in the grand scale of things.
I think in the transfer window as well, Tony, I'm sure I'd need to play it back. Last Thursday when you were in, you said, look, Celtic, they need to get a striker, but they need to get it in it needs to be Monday morning. It needs to have the full week to build up to the Hearts game. You don't need me to tell you Wednesday night. It appears to be getting closer.
That was my worry. We said that my thing would have been get him in on Monday, get a good one or two training sessions at least before this game. But now Celtic are going to be playing the game tomorrow, travelling back, maybe a recovery Friday, potentially a recovery session on Saturday where they won't do much. I don't think there's a chance for him to start on Sunday against Hearts. For me, that's the biggest game of the season, and I know we say that every time a big one comes around. But Hearts have lost Shankland, Beningame, Devlin, who are three players that, maybe not Beningame as such this season, two players who are in the running for Team of the Year. A Hearts team who have lost two games. Celtic should be capitalising on that at any opportunity, and I think they've just left it slightly too late to get a striker in. I did say the dynamics of Celtic change when Maida is through the middle. If you can get a number nine who can hold the ball in, Celtic for me would have been favourites on Sunday.
It is a guarantee that we, the three of us, and the callers, I'm sure, will butcher this between now and 8 o'clock. So we dug into YouTube, and I must, this is very different from how I was pronouncing it last night, so I hold my hands up to that. Celtic's new signing, there is a clip out there of him saying his own name, so surely we need to take it from, well, let's hear it before we go.
It's easy. Tomáš Čvančara.
Čvančara.
It starts with a C, does it not?
Yeah.
He said Twan?
No, Thomas is his first name.
No, Twanchara, he said.
No, Twanchara.
I'm not saying
I've
that.
Watched it back.
Just what are you going to call him?
Cavan Cara. I think that's what I called him last night.
Kvar.
Twanchara. Go for it, why not? Anyway, let's go live to Italy and get the latest from the Celtic camp with Andrew McLean.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European football coverage with The Drake, neighbourhood gastropub. Watch live sports in the west end of Glasgow.
Andrew McLean, what can you tell us?
Yeah, just finished speaking to Martin O'Neill in the past 5 minutes or so here in Bologna's stadium. And the big news is that he is confirming that Celtic are close to signing the man you were just mentioning there, Tomáš Čvančara. He says that he's undergoing a medical at the moment. He'll be in time for the weekend and said he will be available to play against Hearts. So whether that is from the start or not, you'd maybe be surprised, as Tony was saying. But looks as if there's a decent chance he will be on that squad to play against Hearts at the weekend. He was asked about his sort of profile, his physical profile. Despite him being 6'3", people thought he's maybe a throwback to the type of striker that Martin O'Neill liked in his very first spell at Celtic. You know, sort of big physical target men types, Chris Sutton, John Hartson, to name a couple. But Martin O'Neill saying that he's actually not really like that at all. He says he's more a player that's reliant on his pace rather than being that big physical profile. But he did say something really interesting, I thought, at the end of his answer about Tomáš Čvančara. And he said, if you think he's the immediate answer to any sort of problem we have, I wouldn't put that type of responsibility on him. So I'm not sure exactly what he means by that, whether he is, you know, confident that he's going to be able to come in and score goals straight away or contribute straight away. But just a bit of an interesting nugget that Martin O'Neill threw in at the end of his answer about the Czech striker.
What about the game itself, Andrew? Because as I alluded to there, the main topic for a couple of weeks has been the transfer market against the backdrop of a Premiership title race of the like we've not really seen in many years. But it's almost like Europe's been out of sight, out of mind. And you get that to an extent for Rangers because they've only got 1 point. But Celtic are right in the mix. What's the sort of feeling about how important these next two games are and whether Martin O'Neill can rediscover that performance that they got away in Feyenoord?
Yeah, you mentioned that result away at Feyenoord in Rotterdam. I was at that game covering it, and Martin O'Neill you know, was talking about the fact that it was a big game for him, because he, at that point, and we all thought, this is going to be Martin O'Neill's final European match in charge of Celtic. That's kind of what it was being billed as. And for him, it was massive that Celtic got that victory. That was his, I think, penultimate game, wasn't it, before the handover to Wilfred Nancy. But that win is actually even more significant to him now, because it means Celtic are still in with a shout of progressing in this competition. Are currently in the final qualification spot. Two draws might actually even be enough to put Celtic through. One win, and I think Celtic are pretty much guaranteed to get through if they get a win between this match and at home to Utrecht. So, yeah, that win against Feyenoord in Rotterdam was absolutely massive. And Martin O'Neill said it's huge. The fact that they've got that opportunity, yes, he knows there's so much focus on the title race, but Europe is a big thing for Celtic as well. They want to progress in this competition.
Any significant team news or anything else that people should be looking out for?
I know there had been suggestions about Anthony Ralston, some stories doing the rounds on social media. Martin O'Neill confirming that Anthony Ralston has travelled, so there's a very good chance that he could well start tomorrow, although it was Colby Donovan that started that game in Rotterdam, but you'd think Anthony Ralston is in with a good shout of starting at right back.
And of course, it's not often the case that Celtic or Rangers or any of our teams go away in Europe and there's going to be a Scotsman involved for the opposition.
Yeah, great to have the chance to speak to Lewis Ferguson earlier on as well. He was the man that Bologna put up for their press duties earlier on. And he was saying a lot of things. First of all, he was talking about the fact that he has lost his place in the starting lineup at Bologna over the last few weeks, which is quite incredible when you think back to last season when they lifted the Coppa Italia and he had the captain's armband on. He's now been watching from the bench for quite a lot of the last few weeks. He's only been featuring as a substitute. He says he's absolutely determined to try and get his starting place back, and he knows how important that is with a World Cup coming up in the summer. He talked about the heartbreak of the fact that he missed Euro 2024 because he got that horrible cruciate injury in April 2024, just a few months before the tournament. So he is absolutely desperate to get himself on that plane to America. He knows that his club form is a big part of that. He knows that Steve Clarke is a fan of him, but he wants to be in tip-top shape heading into the summer to make as big a contribution he can to Steve Clarke's squad.
And he's got an unwanted record against Celtic that he's trying to put right as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think it was a statistic that was doing the rounds that was put to him. Amazingly, he's played 16 times against Celtic in his career, never beaten Celtic at all. And possibly the statistic is a bit unfair on him. When you actually look across those 16 games, despite the fact that it's been 13 defeats and 3 draws, he's actually scored 7 times in those 16 games. So his individual goal-scoring record against Celtic is very good. That's actually more than double the number of goals he's scored against any other team. So his individual record against Celtic in terms of goal-scoring is actually very good. But yeah, he's targeting his first career win over Celtic tomorrow night.
Good man, Andrew McLean. He's allowed one Peroni with his pasta tonight, then he's off to bed. Big day for the game tomorrow. So thanks again to Andrew. Follow the Twitter feed, etc., over on the social media channels for all the latest over there. Looking forward to the game. But again, transfers doing the rounds. Chvanchara, Andrew got the pronunciation bang on. Stephen's a Celtic fan to kick us off tonight. How are you, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Stephen, Thomas Chvanchara, we're reliably informed that's how you say it. Is that enough to kind of cheer you up a bit about the transfer scenario so far?
To be honest, I've been quite positive most of January. To be honest, I think we will get the signings in, but yeah, definitely, I think it'll be a good signing for us.
Martin Neal saying, you know, he'll medical today, maybe feature at the weekend. Can you see him, you know, coming in and making a real impact quickly, or do you think you might need to adopt a bit of patience there?
No, definitely. Going by Martin O'Neill's interview, doesn't sound like he's expecting to make an immediate impact, but we've seen it before, players coming in at the last minute and making big impacts with Celtic and Rangers, so I don't see any reason why he can't. It's all there for him to do, set up for him, so why not?
Just wondering where you got the confidence from. You said you were always quite positive, because I'm sure you'll know fine well that you're probably in the minority then amongst the Celtic fans. We've had a few this week, but most have been a bit more down about things. Why are you not so worried, or we're not so worried?
I don't see Celtic doing it to Martin O'Neill. I really don't. I don't know why. I just get a certain positivity. I think he's the kind of manager who'll demand the signings that he wants. And I think he'll get what he wants come the end of the transfer window. We had to tear up everything that we've done with Nancy. So he's had to start from the beginning. So I just don't see any reason why we wouldn't give him what he needs to get at the end of the season. I think it'll be mostly loans and kind of short term, which I think is the smart way to do it. But I don't see them doing that to Martin O'Neill. I don't know why. I just don't.
I get that, Tony, and I've heard it quite a lot. The only thing I wonder is if we're coming at that from the wrong angle, because see if Celtic can't get the business. I don't think they're doing it on purpose to Martin O'Neill. So I've heard this, you know, they wouldn't do it to Martin O'Neill, but what if they are trying? What if they're trying to the best of their capabilities? You know, that's a different thing than saying, you know, they wouldn't do that to Martin, isn't it?
Yeah, I think a big part of that is, we spoke about it, Martin O'Neill's probably rejected a few targets. Celtic have probably spoke to clubs about targets and have said no, the clubs, because it's January, it's the hardest window as known. It was interesting what he said about this guy, and I think that's the joy of having Martin O'Neill back, saying that he doesn't expect too much from him. I think that's brilliant management. I think he's saying, don't expect too much. He obviously is signing him because he knows what he can do, and I think he'll be a decent signing. Martin O'Neill's taking the pressure away from him straight away, and I think Celtic have got a lot to do in the next 10 days, but the biggest one was get a striker in the door, and I think now the Celtic fans can be a little bit happier, but they've still got a long way to go if they want to win the league title by the end of the season.
Yeah, I think they've been working behind the scenes. I don't think it's about whether we back Martin O'Neill or not. I think even if it was the other manager, they would still had to have backed him as well, Gordon. And I think part of the problem is the lack of targets. I think that seems to be the case. You know, there's not too many names floating about, and maybe that's a good thing for Celtic's point of view. But obviously, I think he's hinted there that there'll possibly be another striker coming in. Because, again, you don't know where these guys are. I've mentioned this over the show in the last couple of weeks. When you bring guys in at the tail end of January, you need to make sure they're up to speed physically. Otherwise, they break down, and then you're 46 weeks trying to kind of get them up to shape as well. They've obviously been linked to the boy, Masuanisi. They've obviously been linked to him, maybe for a right sider, and then they also need a right centre-back. So I still feel as if there's a bit of business to be done. There's still 10 days, and the clamour for players towards the tail end of this particular window is always the same. You know, it's always a case of somebody lands someone, and then there's a domino effect, and then five or six teams benefit on the back of that. So I still expect Celtic to do a lot of business over the coming days.
Stephen, how are you feeling about tomorrow? Because we said there, Europe had kind of dropped out of sight, out of mind, and there's been so much negativity with some of the results and Wilfried Nancy and so on. But Celtic, as Andrew McLean just explained, are very well placed to try and go through. Then you've got a big game in the title race on Sunday.
I think the priority is the league. I think we should be doing that. But again, we still need to win. End of the day, we still want to kind of try and progress in Europe. It's important. We've not really done very well in Europe the last few years or the last decade or so. So I think I don't think there's a lot of pressure on us for that reason. I think a lot of fans will agree that Europe isn't the priority. And with Martin O'Neill back in, I think we'll be a bit more solid. I would have been a wee bit more worried if Wilfried Nancy was still in charge, but I think we'll get a result tomorrow. I'd be happy
with
coming away with a point, to be honest.
Here's one, Tony. Speaking as a player, and you'll know what sort of incentives are there. If you're trying to chase a striker in the next 9 days, and you can say you're signing for a team that's going to be in the next round of the Europa League, that's strength in your hand in any way.
Yeah, I think all the big players want to play in Europe. I think that's a big pool. I think you see it down south. A lot of teams, like Man United, don't get their targets when they're not in the Champions League. And I know Champions League's maybe a bit out of touch for the Celtic and Rangers just now, but
be relative though then, wouldn't it?
People coming to Celtic and Rangers want to play at Parkhead and Ibrox on a Tuesday, Wednesday, but Thursday's also good in front of 50,000, and that's the nights where you remember. The Old Firm obviously is the one that everybody wants to play in the atmosphere, but the European nights, it's special.
Tremendous.
It's something that you, when you're in the middle of the park and you see everybody, you couldn't buy that feeling. And I think foreign players know that. Celtic and Rangers are that big. I think foreign players know that and want to come. And you've seen this guy, I'm not even going to try and say his name,
Tranchara,
this fella. You see, he's rejected some teams, and it was Celtic and Rangers were in the mix. I don't know how strong Rangers' interest was, but he'll be wanting to go and play in Europa League. And I didn't realise how close Celtic were. If Celtic can go and win tomorrow, I think the recruitment becomes even bigger, because with this squad, they can't do Thursday, Sunday, and win the league comfortably anyway. If Celtic go through tomorrow, I think they've got a big job in their hands in the last 10 days.
You had a big moment for Celtic in Europe, did you not? I'm sure I've heard about that before.
Please. I've been listening for the last 6 months, man.
How many times a day did I think I mentioned
it? A memory in the back of my head somewhere about it. But look, Alex, I'm not saying it's the main driving factor, and then, you know, Celtic have got two games remaining, but it is funny how the dynamic does shift, because Stephen's saying, look, the weekend's the priority, which you don't have to choose between the two, and I'm sure if you did have to choose, most people would lean there. But normally, Celtic kind of know they're going to win the league, or there or thereabouts, so therefore Europe becomes this big massive push. That's shifted a bit due to circumstance.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to describe it, Gordon. It most certainly has shifted, but I think it's a good opportunity. I think the job that he done in Feyenoord, I think it was a big 3 points for Martin O'Neill. He'll have them well set up tomorrow night as well, and it's an opportunity for them to secure that, because if I think 10 points will pretty much guarantee it.
Yep.
And then obviously, but I agree with Stephen, I think the bread and butter always remains the same because of the three-horse race that we've got at the moment. You know, you've got Hearts that really kind of need to add to their squad in the next 10 days as well. So you factor that in. And I think it's all to play for. And I think it's really kind of hotting up. You know, I think this, you know, Celtic's dominated for the last 13, 15 years quite comfortably. And now what you've got now is a title race.
And it's that great one, because managers now, when they say we just focus on ourselves, you just know it's an absolute lie. Because Danny Rule will just be sitting back on Sunday. Well, he won't, in fact, because they're playing
as well. Play at the same time,
but yeah. Checking his score app, whichever one he uses, and hoping that they two draw, surely, and then you try anyway.
I'm not sure.
No?
I'm not sure he wants a draw.
So what do you think he wants?
I said it the other day, I think the best thing for them is if Celtic win. And I know Rangers fans won't be expecting Celtic to win, but Celtic win and Rangers win, it comes to 3 points, and I think you just want to be as close to first as possible.
Tony Watt says Rangers fans should cheer on Celtic at the weekend. That's your headline. Thank you, Stephen. We will hear exactly what Martin O'Neill said about the new striker when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's a bit of a Partick Thistle takeover here. It's Alex Ray and Tony Watt in the studio, but we're talking about Europe tomorrow, and it came back to me that Tony once did have a big moment in Europe. So there we go, he's perfectly placed to give us his thoughts. We're talking the January transfer window, of course, as well. Been practising it during the break. Come on, give me it in your best Czech.
Chwanchara,
I think was the pronunciation. Chwanchara. I don't know if Martin O'Neill's given it a bash, but this is what he had to say about the potential near arrival of Celtic's new striker.
I think it's pretty close now. He's, as we speak, he's doing a medical. I think things are going pretty well. He's not actually a target man, believe it or not. He's not one that you're just going to. He's quite quick, and he's not really that. That's something I just want to say to you, that he's not the John Hartson type, or the, I suppose, when Chris played alongside Henrik Larsson, that type of thing. But he is, he's quick and he's agile, and he wants to prove himself. And but if you think that he's the immediate answer to any sort of problem you have, I'm not sure that I would really throw that sort of responsibility on him.
Do you see that as being more of a device to take the pressure off, sort of play down expectations? Is there room for, and I'm not trying to say Martin O'Neill expressed himself wrong, but is he maybe trying to say also that the Celtic need more than that to fix everything that's wrong? Does that make sense? You know, this notion that, look, just sign this one striker and you go and win the league. Yeah. Is he maybe trying to say that it needs more?
Yeah. Listen, I think most people have been saying they need a traditional number nine, somebody who can link the play, and I think that's what's been missing from Celtic's game overall. I think offensively they've been really good. I think they get into the same rotations as Brendan Rodgers' team in the pockets, but they just don't have that link man. I think Iheanacho does it really well when he's fit. So again, it may well depend on when he's coming back into the fray, but can you rely on him between now and May? So I would imagine there'll be another striker gone, but if you're 6'2", 6'3", I think you're going to bring some sort of physical presence to it, but the fact that he's mobile may well help him as well.
Must be murder, that though, the temptation to go, is he another Larsson, Sutton or Hartson? Do you know what I mean? That's quite big boots to fill.
Yeah, it's, I think that's absolutely brilliant man management for Martin O'Neill. I think everybody's crying out for a number nine. They're saying Celtic need to fix it, but then we all stop after that and we don't add the next bit and we say they need a lot more than that, but the number nine's the most important thing. And I think Martin O'Neill does well by saying he's not the immediate answer to all our problems. Yes, he'll come in. A number nine at Celtic could potentially get 6 to 12 goals by just standing in the box to the end of the season. If he can bring other stuff, that's brilliant. But I think he's probably coming to supporters and saying, don't put too much pressure on him. He'll be decent, but we need a lot more than that.
Stephen is on in Kirkintilloch. Hi, Stephen.
G'day, Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call.
It is a pleasure. What have you got for us?
Well, as I was saying to the producer there, I think this is probably one of the most important transfer windows in the last 15 years for Celtic. For the reason I believe this, right, is if Rangers were to win the league this year, which is as it stands to now, Rangers have a really good window. They've strengthened in their team. They've looked at weaknesses, very proactive. If Rangers were to win the league and they get access to the Champions League money, you know Rangers history will say that they'll invest in their team and they'll make it. It could be a difficult couple of years for Celtic. So I'm glad today that we finally look as if we've got a number nine. As Alex said there, we definitely need another former right winger and a right centre-half. You know, so first part of the puzzle in, but massive amount of work to do still between now and the next 10 days, I would say.
That's what I love about Scottish football, because you can always make a case. You know, we've seen it in the past few years, saying, well, that there was a really important title on the line for 10 in a row and what that meant. And then for a while, when we had the automatic Champions League qualification, people said, well, this title is the most important ever because it gets you that. And now Stephen's talking about the importance of this one to Celtic. This one's unique for Celtic in the sense that they've not been sort of, I don't know if they're underdogs, but you know what I mean, they've not had to come through like as much adversity as this to go and win a title. So that's what puts so much sort of
emphasis on this window,
on who, because there's that theory, isn't there, whoever comes out the window the best.
Yeah, but not necessarily. If you look at the form that Rangers had since Danny Rowe came in, Gordon, it's been really, really impressive. The fact that he's added three players to areas where I think they actually needed strengthened, without doubt the left back area was very much so. I've been crying out for a number six for as long as I've come back on the show, and then obviously you've got the boy Olsen, who really brings a real degree of quality coming off that right hand side. You would imagine he would trap up with goals as well, but I still get the impression that Rangers are really looking for a number nine themselves, and I think it's fair to say that Rangers and Celtic and top championship teams will all be scouring Belgian teams as well, all be scouring the same market for their type of players, and you know, whoever can get the best one out of that may well be the difference.
You were obviously in at Rangers previously, so you've seen what that process looks like and the type of player you're trying to recruit. You played on the continent, Tony. I'm wondering if, look, but I know cutting Celtic some slack in this window is not in fashion. I totally get that, and they probably should have done more by the 21st of January and so on. See the market that you're likely to be in at Celtic or Rangers, say for a number nine, for a good number nine, are those guys all maybe holding out to see if they can get like bottom end English Premier League? Do you know what I mean, is that a kind of equal level as to what you would be looking for?
I'll give you an example. See the boy Sargent, who is up for grabs at Norwich. He would be looking to go to West Ham. West Ham were trying to sign him currently. Now he's fallen out with Clement down at Norwich. And they were looking around about the 18 million mark. So they would be looking to replace Sargent for around about £68 million. So that's a kind of...
So top-end championship then.
Top-end. I think bottom-end Premier League teams, I think between 15 and 20 million is your bog standard.
Yeah, I suppose maybe a bit above it.
Yeah, just slightly, yeah.
I seen Club Brugge, like you say about the Belgian team scouring, they're going to Benfica and offering €12 million to sign a player. Celtic and Rangers don't really do that as much. If Norwich can pay that, the money in
England... €12 million is not far off what Chimiti would be similar.
Yeah.
So maybe you're Chimiti, but I don't think in January they can afford to do that.
And then Celtic have got the short-term thing because of the loans and Martin O'Neill.
And I think Rangers, again, when you spend £9 million on Chimiti and then 3 years in Majovski, I'm not sure they can spend that much money on another striker, because
do you think it'd be a loan to buy though, because that seems to be a fashionable thing?
Yeah, because Stephen, it upsets apple cart.
Does this have to be the first of a few then? Does this have to get the ball rolling and a few more to follow soon?
I think Celtic have been diluted over the last 18 months, you know, to a point where it's been problematic on how the team actually functions. You know, I think the right-hand side, although Yang, who I had a lot of criticism for that guy, he's kind of stepped up in the last couple of weeks, if not months. My big problem is, I think the old firm collectively, Celtic, who is my team, I think there's a snobbery about going to get players in the SPL. See, for me, I think there's players in the SPL that could do a job for either side of the old firm. I know I can. There's players that I would go to for Celtic at this moment in time. I think they've proven themselves. And listen, I'm not really that worried about Europe. I don't think we're ever going to win any of the cups. So I get it, it's good for revenue and for attracting players. But my focus, and I think Celtic's focus, should be on domestically, trying to build a team that can win domestically. And if you look at Hearts and you look at Motherwell, you know, there's some fantastic football players there and some great football being played by these teams. And
Give me some names then, who in the league?
For me, I like the boy from Motherwell. I like the two boys from Motherwell, the up to. I like the boy, the New Zealand boy, and is it Malawasi?
Masawisi,
right. Phenomenal. Hearts, you know, for me, I don't understand why Celtic and Rangers, respectively, have any offer to Cammy Devlin and Finlay. Pre-contracts, because I'm sure they're up for that. Now, that's a great bit of business for those guys, you know, for supplementing teams. I mean, there's a lot of players there. I like Mandron, and I like Innocent Mirren. I think you put these guys into a better team, they'll score a barrel load of goals. You know, there's a bit of snobbery there. I think Rangers and Celtics used to go and take the best of the SPL, and you know something? It worked, and the money filtered its way down. That's kind of stoked over the last couple of years, and I'm surprised at that, because a lot of good SPL players in there that could improve my team specifically anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Stuart Finlay is now committed to Hearts for next season, but it's a fair point. Let's leave Elijah just slightly under the radar, because my word, he's so good.
he's so good,
but because he doesn't quite get the number, and I think, I don't know, maybe Motherwell haven't been on live TV as often or something, and he's only...
I'm sure he's on the radar, he's not as much
of a numbers guy as Masawisi, but my goodness, he's excellent. But Masawisi is the one. You played with him last season. It feels like on social media, both have been like linked, both sides of Glasgow have been linked. Tony Martin and Neil went at the weekend and then tried to play it down. What have you made of it? What's he like? And could he do a job ultimately?
He signed before me. The boys were raving about him. Played a game against Everton. He was unbelievable. One of him, it might have been my second debut for Motherwell. He came on against Kelly at the same time as me, and it was
electric.
Get the ball to him. Everybody, I think I came on the left. He came on the right. I didn't touch the ball. Everybody was just going down his side, and I was
giving him the thumbs up.
I was like, on you
well
go.
Play son.
The worry for me is the price tag of all these players. In January, the pressure with the price tag, Motherwell have got a few. The boy Fadinga for me has went totally under the radar, and just, there's been a lot of talk about Elliot Watt. Slattery again, could easily play at a high level. He's been at Southampton, and then JT. The Celtic go and pay $2-3 million for JT to Wander and get him. If they can get him for that price, yeah, but I'm not sure Motherwell are ready to sell at the moment. I think they're backing their manager. When he talks about other teams, Hearts will not entertain. Hearts have got a lot of money now,
could they? But to be fair, Stephen's maybe talking about historically or missing your opportunity to go and get some of these guys.
At the moment, they can't. Hearts are controlled by a powerful man in Tony Bloom, so I don't think they're going to give it up. In terms of other players, Hibs, there's a few. Falkirk, even the boy Calvin Miller, he's out of contract in the summer. He's done well this season. But it's just who fits into Celtic. It's a big one. The price tag on these players, if you can get them last 6 months and they're 500,000, it's a free hit. But like they said about Bowie, 6.5-7 million, look at what it's done to Chomiti. Every time I watch a Rangers game, before they say his name, they say the price tag, and that's a big pressure going
and
to
especially,
a team like
that. We've said it before, but if we're talking specifically Celtic, there's this thing hanging over about who's the manager next season. It doesn't make it impossible. We mentioned Aberdeen last night. They're signing players. They don't have a manager currently. But
if you've got a director of football in place, God, then there's that structure.
But again, even that is mostly loans, isn't it? It's Liam Morrison's a loan. Lyle Cameron, of course.
Olesanya.
So, everything just points towards short-term stuff for Celtic.
But you mentioned the boy... Wasmanisi. So you talk about him, Gordon. I don't think if you're paying $2-3 million quid for him is a big gamble for
a
club.
Get him for two. Come on.
Well, maybe. But what I'm saying is, if whatever the fee is, I always think because of what he's done so far, because of the pace and the goals, it's a remarkable return. So if it doesn't quite work out, it's not really a big hit for Celtic to go and have a punt on him. So for me, that would be a no-brainer. Obviously, you mentioned guys like Cammy Devlin and things possibly, but again, you want to get them out of contract. And again, that would probably destabilise. Yep. unstable, you know, hearts as well, but a player. Yeah, absolutely. I've mentioned that many times in the show that if you sign a guy from one of your biggest rivals and he's got one foot out the door, then you know you're playing the game there.
Thank you very much to Stephen on the line. Keep the calls coming in whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One.
What fee would you put on any club that wants to buy Tony Watt from Partick Thistle?
He's just about to break into double figures, isn't he, big guy?
I got nine.
You're nine, are you?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Said that at the start of the season. You get any double figures, then
500 quid.
Yeah, well,
he's going to pay 500 quid to get rid of me.
Anyway, how's this for a serious amount of cash? Make Me a Winner. It is the radio competition that gives you the chance to win life-changing cash every Friday. This week it's £300,000. Somebody wins it, so why not you? Get involved. Text YES to 61025. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. And you can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will also find all the rules for this network competition, including the fact that you have to be over 18 to enter, and the lines close 5 p.m. Friday. If you'd rather phone, it's 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at your standard network rate as well. But for your chance to win the money straight into your account on Friday, text YES to 61025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray's here alongside Tony Watt. They were battling it out. They were arguing with each other, fighting and all sorts. That's the way I've got it in my head anyway, on the training ground yesterday. But they're best pals, and running the rule over your calls tonight on 0141 951 1025. Justin is on the line next. How are you, Justin?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good. What's happening?
I feel very privileged tonight, Gordon, for a couple of reasons, and I'll get to my point in a second, but one of the reasons I feel privileged is I was actually warming your seat in the studio earlier on this morning, so I hope we left it in a good condition for you.
I've always got it in the highest setting, Justin, don't I? Do you need to put it down a bit?
I did bang my knees off the top of the desk with the two bits of masking tape that's there, but
well, it makes a change because Tony Watt's nearly taken the TV off the wall about three times since he came in here. So, dare I ask why? Why were you in here? What's the script?
I was in for a meeting with the very lovely Gary Spence earlier
nice,
on today.
Nice.
But yeah, I had.
And was this studio everything you thought it would be? Was it a big letdown when you got here? Was it nice to see where the magic happens?
I was very impressed with the wheel just to your right hand side. I was very impressed with that.
What about the big dent in the floor where Hugh Keevans dropped his Nokia last week? Did you clock that?
I did, actually.
There you go.
Christmas decorations, but I wasn't going to mention it.
It's a bit messy in the background. Anyway, you're sort of shattering the illusion here, Justin. What's happening?
The reason I was touching base was more about obviously tomorrow and moving on for the rest of the season for a Rangers point of view. Obviously, I've kind of talked a lot about Chermiti every time we've been on, and how I think there's a really strong player in there that just needs to be played probably the right way. And I think Daniel seems to be getting a tune out of him now, confidence-wise. But I think, for me, the thing I would like to see him more is in the box and doing a lot more of the work that he does and hold up and everything else and using that physicality in the box more. So it was to see what Alex and the rest of you thought in relation to that, if that would get more goals.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, he was obviously taking a lot of stick in the early part of his Rangers career, and I think he was finding it really difficult. I think the price tags actually hampered him a little bit, and he's found it difficult to hit the ground running. However, throughout the course of that, I've seen some really good attributes. I see a guy that can link it. He looks as if he's technically very good as well, and he's mobile. So I think there's a good array of qualities there that he can actually add. The one thing I would say is, though, that he needs to score more goals. Again, and it's interesting, we're obviously sat with Tony, and I say this to our strikers at Partick Thistle, I said to him at Rangers, if you can get between the sticks, especially when the ball's flashing across there, then you can ramp up your numbers. And I think that's one of the things that he can actually do. And I think he's just becoming a slow burner. I think most Rangers fans have been encouraged in recent performances, obviously at Celtic, and that would be giving him more and more confidence that he can actually handle the big occasion as well. So he's only here 4 months, and we're very quick to judge it. It doesn't matter if Chermiti or anybody at Rangers, Celtic, Hearts, people judge very quickly. But I think he's going in the right direction, and I think the fact that Danny Rose played him quite a bit as well will encourage him as well. And I think he's a valuable member of the squad, and he is still young. I think there's plenty of development in him, and I think that's the reason why you pay so much, to clearly see the qualities that I've mentioned. And I think there's a possibility he could really kick on. And you know, you go back to McCoys when he started, really struggled, and I'm not saying he's going to be an Ali McCoys, but struggled to get amongst the goals, Mark Hatley. So you know, we need to cut the guy's slack as well, and then try and encourage him to get more goals.
Yeah.
What do you think, Justin?
No, I totally agree. I mean, as I say, that for me, he seems to be doing a lot of the work up until now outside the box, apart from the Old Firm game where he was really strong and you know, really positive with not just some of the touches he had, but the kind of directness that he had in running. He reminds me a bit of a kind of combination between Morelos and Daniel Kuzan, a really kind of powerful, kind of skillful player that needs that engagement in and around the box. He needs people in and around them. You've heard the players like Raskin talking about they're not worried about him. They can see every day the kind of stuff that he brings to the table. And it was just interesting. I've seen a few things today about the, is it Milionisi, the boy at Motherwell, the forward that's been...
Oh, Masionisi,
sorry, apologies. I think he would be a perfect foil for him. Somebody that's quick, you know, electric, energetic, as a foil for him. I think that would be a no-brainer for me. I just don't think Gassama's delivering, and I think that would be a fantastic signing for Rangers. I think that would really help us kick on. I don't know what you guys think.
Did you quickly on that comparison, either one of you chat the manager's office at Partick Thistle tomorrow and ask him what he thinks about Daniel Kuzan? And if he's like Chermiti, right?
I don't know. Is he not still in his back pocket?
See what he thinks. Don't think he's shaking that off just because he's a serious football manager these days. No chance.
He deserves it as well.
The goals against Celtic are obviously one way to start your sort of progression back into the kind of positivity for people. Goals in Europe, you know, these types of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I'm going to the game tomorrow night, Gordon, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him because I think he's grown in stature, and I think when you start getting the confidence to be that number nine at Rangers, then you can obviously start producing more goals, more assists, more kind of link play and so forth. And I think, again, as I said, and I wholeheartedly agree with Justin, I think this guy, there's a player in there, and I just, in time, good players run about him. I think Olsen will help him as well, because I think there'll be more balls flashing into the box. Gassama, so the more offensive options they've got, the more ammunition you might get this guy.
I feel a wee bit sorry for him, because I think the price tag in his head, and don't get me wrong, I've not had any conversations with him, makes him think he needs to do more outside the box, whether it's because of fans on him, because of people on him. We spoke about it, get in the box and get in between the sticks, and you'll score goals. And I said to my wife the morning of the Old Firm, we had a game, and I said, do you see that big boy Chummy? If he scores today, all the problems go away, because he's worth this £9 million. Everybody's talking about that. See, when you score against Celtic, on the flip side, you score against Rangers, you get time automatically.
Breakfast time in the Watt household sounds like
genuinely, on a side note, she looks at me and goes, what are you talking who even is he? But I just like to vent and talk about it because I like the subject. But for me, looking on the outside, Miovski wasn't bought for $100,000. Miovski was bought for a big fee, so Chamiti's got to sell
Danilo,
ahead of him.
Danilo as well cost a lot of money, but it's because it's not quite as much.
So Chamiti had to get... Miovski scored a few goals. Chamiti's got to sell ahead of Miovski. He plays in the important games. I said to you, I don't know if you remember, one of his first games, I said, I feel sorry for him. I seen him shift and he looked rapid. He's got a wee bit of technical ability, but he needs to now think what's the most important thing for him. Is it going and getting involved in the play, or is it get in the middle of the box, Scove Olsen's in, Gassama's in, tap balls in, get yourself on double figures before the end of the season, and you've done all right. If you can walk away with a trophy at the end of the season, the £9 million will then become less significant if he gets double figures. Mm. Then next season he goes again, and then maybe Rangers in a few years get that money back or even get a bit of it, and he can be a big player for Rangers because he's got all the attributes and he's came from a big background in Sporting Lisbon, who are a massive team. Mm.
Thank you very much to Justin on the line, who looked after the seat today, and we are about... I hope he didn't steal my coin, actually. Hold on. Okay. Is it? Surely not. I know who... Well, listen, if it's gone missing, we know who's taking it.
Yeah.
Justin? No, I need him to beat the pundit. Anyway, let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
This is like the world's worst Netflix crime drama. We know already who did it, seriously. If the coin's missing, Justin, I don't want to make any sort of generalisations about the lovely people of Bridgeton, right? But I think Justin's nabbed it. Seriously, where's the coin? This is a disgrace. It's Beat the Pundit time. 01419511025. We will solve it, even if we have to go and chap Justin's door. The lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. It's 01419511025. If you want to get on board, please do. Of course, talking January transfers as always this month, but looking ahead to two big games in the Europa League tomorrow as well. So keep your calls coming. Any Partick Thistle fans want to pick their brains, you can do that. Also, we're here until 8 o'clock, so get involved and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I can barely concentrate on tonight's Beat the Pundit because my coin has been stolen. Okay? And incredibly, Justin phoned up just before this and said, oh, I was sitting in your seat today, Gordon. Fast forward 5 minutes, I realise the coin's missing. So get down to Justin and Bridgeton's door and find out where it is. We've had to delve into the supplies for the winners to get one, but that's not the point. This isn't the one. You know, like the Scottish Cup, what is there, three of them? They get the replicas, but you get the one handy to you on the day it goes back. This is not the coin.
I know, feel free.
See, the thing is, in Scotland as well, you don't put yourself in it if you've done something like that. So I don't know if he stole it.
Oh, here he goes, Mr. Movie Reviewers giving me his plot twists.
Netflix told me that one.
If it's no movie reviews or chickens, it's socks. Speaking of which,
I promised.
I saw you giving it the biggin' on social media, saying that if somebody beats you,
I'll change it. If somebody beats me, or I'll.
No. Don't.
I'll get them a free pair.
Socks away all day long.
I'll give them a free pair of socks, saying whatever you want them at. Three, maybe four letters max, so you can think about that over the next
great.
5 minutes.
That'll go down well in Scotland, I'm sure. West of Scotland, there'll be some creative suggestions.
No, you need to decide. CSSB, maybe? We can put
or
that
just
on
their initials. Right,
no,
so
because it needs to be something not for them, memorable from
right,
here.
Well, BTP, Beat the Pundit. There you go.
So smart for me, I didn't think of that.
So there you go, you have an extra incentive tonight. Not only can you embarrass Tony Watt or Alex Ray, you then get to choose your sign ball or your coin as always. Tony Watt will give you a pair of his special socks that he sells. What's your company again?
Play Essentials.
Play Essentials, but you can get a pair for free if you win.
That seems fair.
Brilliant. Yeah. Scott in Wishaw, how are you, Scott?
Good, thanks, Gordon, how are you?
Scott, are you the type of guy that's in the market for grip socks? Just say yes. Say yes, I'd love them.
Right. We do hats as well.
Oh, he does hats as well. There we go. Right, Scott, what I'm going to do. That's changed it.
He's confident, isn't he?
Right, I'm going to toss the new coin. And if it's the blue side, it's for Tony Watt. Blue's always closest to me. The red side is for Alex Ray. So Justin and Bridgeton's phoning back in. I can see it on the screen. Anyway, we'll get to him in a minute. Let's see who plays tonight. It's blue for Tony Watt. He's been desperate to play.
Oh, go on, Tony.
The only thing, you've never played before, have you?
Years ago, but not recently.
The only thing I would say is they're quite tricky. Sorry.
That's
that
brilliant, because I've every time I get beat a couple of weeks ago and they come on the bus and murder me.
There you go.
You'll be buzzing.
The Partick Thistle dressing room is listening, Scott. I will give him some greatest hits radio to listen to. You have 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, good man. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who was the last team Rangers beat in the Europa League?
Oh, pass.
How many new players have Celtic confirmed the signing of in the January window so far?
One.
Name either Scottish team who won a league game last night.
Pass.
Which former Scotland player turned 67 today?
Alex McLeish.
Who's St Mirren's club captain?
Mark O'Hara.
Declan Gallagher plays for which championship team?
Ross County.
Who joined Celtic from Rapid Vienna in January 2024?
Nicholas Kuhn.
Okay. Tony Watt, wow. Can you hear us?
No, I'm back. I was looking forward, so I didn't read
what
your
lips. What are you at? You think they were hard?
They're brutal.
Oh no.
Brutal.
Oh my goodness. You ready?
Yep.
30 seconds, your time starts now. Name the last team Rangers beat in the Europa League.
Pass.
How many new players have Celtic confirmed the signing of this window?
One.
Name either Scottish team who won a league game last night.
Inverness.
Which former Scotland player turned 67 today?
Pass.
Who's St Mirren's club captain?
Mark O'Hara.
Declan Gallagher plays for which championship
Ross
team?
County.
Who joined Celtic from Rapid Vienna in January 2024?
Kuhn.
Scotland's friendly opponents Curaçao are from which continent?
Pass.
Ah, what you doing? That's an experience. That is an experience. Just guess a continent.
America.
Well, we'd be wrong anyway, but nevertheless, you should have just guessed one.
I didn't want to say America in case that wasn't a continent.
Nah, that wouldn't have been a great answer. Scott in Wishaw, what do you think?
It's close, I think.
It's close. It is close. Let's go through them. The first one's sneaky because Rangers obviously haven't won this season, so you're kind of scrambling around. When I say it, you'll both kick yourself. Scott as a Rangers fan, you as a student of the game, Fenerbahce.
Oh, fair.
Of course it was.
Yes.
But I mean, I must admit, not that I'm any sort of barometer, but there's not a chance I would have got that. That's just not how my memory works, I don't think. That's difficult.
You're better just quickly pass now.
Which you both did. How many new players have Celtic confirmed so far? It is one. Julian Araujo from Bournemouth. Obviously, Stephen Welsh has been recalled and the striker's not quite in yet. Name either team who won a league game last night. You had the choice of Alloa, who beat Montrose 4-1, or Inverness Cali Thistle, who beat his 5-2-0. Tony Watt goes one in front. However, Scott struck back straight away. Did you see this somewhere today, Scott, or is this the best guess of all time?
I've seen it today.
Who is it then?
I've just seen it on your page. Well done to the Gothenburg hero, Aberdeen.
Alex McLeish.
Oh,
your old pal.
Just Big Red, are you?
67.
Wished him a happy
today.
Birthday this morning.
There you go. Okay, so we're back level. St Mirren's club captain is Mark O'Hara. Declan Gallagher plays for Ross County. You both got them. We're still level.
Oh, no.
Nicholas Kuhn signed from Rapid Vienna. Both level.
No.
Scott, oh no.
Scott finished so strong. Scott was brilliant at the end as well.
Oh, he didn't get it. Oh,
Curaçao is from which continent? It's South America.
Is it America?
Not a chance. You passed
America?
It for a start.
You passed it.
Scott didn't get that far.
Oh, tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker. Whoa, nearly. South America.
No,
they're located in the southern Caribbean Sea near Venezuela, apparently. So there we go. Dick Advocat's the manager.
Yes.
Curaçao. We're going to play them at hand.
That wasn't a swear word there. I said off like oof.
No, you're all right.
Okay. Just in case.
It's a lottery. Is that what you say about penalty shootouts? So it's kind of like that. I'll read the question, Scott. I'll get Tony to write his answer down and then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Okay.
How many Scottish Cup finals have Celtic played in of all time? Write it down, please, Tony Watt. How many Scottish Cup finals have they played in? Right, Scott, what are you giving us?
I'll go with 63.
Okay. Tony's gone 42.
I've went too low.
Do you know how many times Celtic have won it?
Is it more than that?
It's no far off that. Scott is only two away. It's
great
61.
Well done, Scott. Well done, Scott. You've ruined my night.
Superb, Scott. You've ruined his night. His wife's been on him to play for weeks.
I'm not getting dinner.
The family dynamic's been shot to pieces. But you got yourself a pair of grip socks, Scott.
Well done, Scott.
I'll take that.
Good man. And are you choosing the ball or the coin?
I've got the coin, so I'll take the ball.
Hold on a minute. He's dropped down. So you've won previously. Who did you beat?
I beat Simon Donnelly.
That doesn't count. Literally everybody beats him this season. That was a good win, Scott. Well done to you.
Yeah, well done.
Who's your team, Scott? Excellent. Oh, you said Rangers fan, didn't you? What are you thinking tomorrow? How do you, in terms of nothing to play for, in terms of going through, does that change anything? Are you one of these that plays a weakened team, or are you about coefficients and finances and that sort of stuff?
I don't pay much attention to the coefficients, to be honest with you. It just confuses me, to be brutally honest with you. But no, I'm not too fussed about tomorrow night. Obviously, just domestically, that's where the focus should be just now.
It's just an interesting dynamic, Alex, because what confuses me, since we're on the subject, is all the permutations for the Europa League. Because Rangers are not officially out, but I mean, they are. I mean, there's 1 point with two games to go. There'll be some mad series of events that give them a 0.01 chance of going through, right? But I think we're simple men on here. Yeah. They're out, okay? So hope that doesn't come back to bite me. I've seen a lot of this on social media over the last couple of days, that Scotland's coefficient account is excellent. Really, I think, opened a lot of people's eyes to this stuff. Maybe not to Scott. The scenario being that if Rangers win the league and they can keep the coefficient where it is or add to it, they can then get automatic...
Yep.
Olympiacos
to the Champions League, which would obviously be massive. But speaking to Danny Rule today, he was kind of pointing out that you just need to win the league first. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. You don't want to get ahead of yourself.
But though, to then maybe contradict that, is it beneficial for Danny Rule to go win a European game, go and get that belief, go and show that you can do that, keep your winning momentum up?
Absolutely.
Give, try and build something and carry it on, or Is it all about the league? You play the reserves tomorrow and crack on. What do you think?
No, I think it's important that they try and win a game, Gordon, because the one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to finish bottom of that group as well. You know, it's 36 teams, so it's, you know, you don't want to be down the bottom. I think over recent seasons, Rangers have been really good in this competition. So, and again, more importantly for the group, it just shows that they can win European games, and then it gives you confidence bouncing into the weekend as well. And the role that they're on, it's obviously one defeat to Hearts, but I feel as if, you know, a win tomorrow night, just everybody's on the front foot. You've got these three new additions as well, which is obviously a big bonus to everyone. And when you're in a dressing room and they're adding quality to that, if you're on that part, the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to drop your performance levels, and then obviously these guys are taking your place. So it's competition for places as well. I think there's a lot of on stake tomorrow night, Gordon. And as I said, I think from everybody at Rangers will want to continue to win and move forward.
Are you not convinced? You were pulling a face.
I agree with Al. His point about don't finish bottoms probably helped me there. They need to find a balance. I think he should be resting a couple of big players. I know they had the cup game at the weekend, but they need to beat Dundee. But also, Rangers and Celtic can't finish bottom in the Europa League. They can't do it. Danny Rowe, for me, should have come out and said, what happened before has left it too hard to progress. It left us too much time. Then, now we'll try and do our best, and now we'll build on it to try and win the league for next season.
Is that just symbolic, though? To play devil's advocate, bottom, third bottom, fourth bottom, make any difference?
Yeah, but see, the thing is, I think the bigger picture is where they're at currently as a group.
That's what I mean, so more about momentum then.
Absolutely. You know, obviously the bottom thing is that's just an afterthought, but the actual momentum, confidence, moving forward as a group. And for me, listen, see, if you'd have said to me 3 months ago this group of players will be where they are at the moment, I thought you off your head. The fact that he's managed to get a tune out of them, the same players that Russell Martin had, he's got a tune out of them. They're very much on the front foot. They look at it, and again, you look at them as a group. I feel as if people are growing in stature. I look at individuals as well, Gordon, who you're looking and you're thinking, what are they doing at this club? They're growing in stature. And I just feel as if with the additions, I think Rangers are in a really good place. And the last thing he would want is a defeat, particularly at Ibrox tomorrow night, because there seems to be a feel-good factor amongst the Rangers fans at the moment as well, and they want that to continue.
A much smaller point, but maybe even if you're a central defensive midfielder or you play off the right, you think, well, everybody expects these new signings to come and take my place. I don't want to let that happen. I want to show what I can do.
The biggest
on this stage.
Probably Magoma. He's just probably came onto a bit of a game, scored against Dundee United, a good goal. And they've brought in a guy for a few million for Belgium, under-21s. So he'll be thinking, there's no way this guy gets in the team when he's back fit. The right winger, whoever plays there, will be thinking, Scott Wilson's a massive signing. I need to keep him out of the team as long as possible. And
competition for places is a massive, Tony. We've been talking about us as well. It's so important.
Even just, like we say, if somebody blows their tank at 60, 70 minutes, for Rangers fans to see a Scott Wilson come on, I know he can't play tomorrow, but just come off the bench and it will lift them going towards the end of the season. But I'll probably change my opinion and thinking it's a winnable game tomorrow. Don't end with 1 point. If you win tomorrow and you go out, that's fine. Danny Rowe can go and win tomorrow, beat Dundee, and then forget about Europe and focus on the league.
Still Porto away to come as well. Thank you to Scott. Did you choose what initials you want on your new grip socks, Scott?
I'll just keep my own initials on it, SM.
There we go. Tony will sort you out. Look at this. We've absolutely ripped up the playbook on Beat the Pundit. Although I can obviously see a very, very brief description. There's like a little messaging service I can get on the screen. I've described that horribly. But Justin called back in, and in capital letters, I swear I did not take the coin. I think we possibly might need to get the lawyers involved if I have just defamed Justin.
And you had a go at me for sticking up for him as well.
I know. Justin has had his right of reply, so I think we're off the hook. And apparently, Gary Spence has lifted it by accident.
As you do.
Doesn't even like football, Gary Spence. What would he possibly need with a Beat the Pundit coin? Honestly, stick to Shazam.
Wouldn't even
leave our coins
Spence
alone.
Shazam, would it?
No, absolutely not, honestly. I don't know what's happening in this place. I mean, I even heard Bowie at breakfast were discussing my bins this morning.
Madness.
I wasn't listening, no offence. I was doing something else, and so my phone was going saying they're. I don't know if accusing is the right word, because this is quite, I think it's an accolade. They were alleging that I would be the binfluencer in my street, that I'll be the first guy to put the bin out and then everybody follows. I'm a bit torn up. I somebody says, well, do we really need to hear it? Right, hurry up then, go on, make it short.
Binfluencer is somebody who leads the way,
yes,
on the day for taking the bins out. He thought, oh, Davey at number 27's got his bin out, therefore I better get my bins out. I think most sensible one of the team, and the person that I would follow influence, Gordon Duncan.
Do you know, I've got a point.
Gordon's a guy.
You've got a point.
Like, if Gordon puts his bins out, my bins are going out. Everyone's bins going out. Gordon, stand up, son.
What
sort of vindicator?
What? I don't know how to take the fact that they think I've got some sort of like bin knowledge, but see, they must think I'm like organised and on the ball, which I'm quite happy to take, because the truth is, I have not got a clue.
It's a missy, surely.
Oh, all day long with everything we do, she decides. Oh, look at the state of this. Why have you done that on the live stream? Me and Gordon Dale taking out the bins. So
he's definitely not.
Oh,
he's definitely not
flat,
the influencer.
He goes and puts some in other
he's
people's
not the
bins. Not a chance. No, I do very much what Mrs. Duncan says in most aspects of life's admin.
But listen, same.
If the rest of the Clyde One team think I'm organised, I will absolutely take it. Must give off that impression or something like that. Graham is on the line in Moss Park. How are you, Graham?
I'm good, Gordon. I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Thanks for that. And evening to Alec and Tony as well.
Hi, Graham.
How you doing, guys? Basically, what I was, Gordon, I'll need to level with you. I was giving it the big end with my son when I was making dinner tonight.
Right.
And we're Queen's Park fans, Queen's Park season ticket holders.
Mm, interesting.
So we're in the minority. So Queen's Park season ticket holders. And making dinner, I said to him, I'm going to phone up that Clyde One tonight and have a word with him about this situation with Stranraer.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, phone them, Darren, phone them. So I backed myself into a corner. So,
what's your son's name?
His name's Joseph.
He's absolutely
done
you, Graham. He has peer pressured you into this.
He has.
Joseph has got one over on you. But you're here and it's harmless. It's not that scary, is it?
No, not at all, not at all.
Right, in case anyone hasn't seen it, you are potentially about to be the beneficiary of an admin error on Stranraer's part. So you've, again, for anyone who's not seen it, Stranraer beat your Queen's Park team, sorry to remind you, on penalties last night, which means they thought they had booked a money-spinning trip to Ibrox in the Scottish Cup. However, they have now been issued with a notice of complaint by the Scottish FA because it appears their goalkeeper, who had just joined on the day of the game on loan from Hearts, probably shouldn't have played. The cup rules state that he, because he hadn't been signed by the original scheduled date, couldn't have been signed by the time the rearranged game had to happen. It's disciplinary rule 303, which I'm sure you knew.
Yeah,
didn't
Tony
you?
Was mentioning that earlier.
Specifically competition rule 12.5 as well for anybody that is keeping an eye on things. So anyway, to boil it down, they'll have a case to answer. Stranraer are obviously going to fight it. I don't like to try and prejudge these things, but based on recent precedent, which Graham, you know all about, because this happened to Queen's Park.
It did in 2023, that's right.
And you got chucked out, didn't you? So it probably looks like that'll happen, although sorry if I'm being unfair in judging that already.
Sure, that's right. On the fielded, Queen's Park fielded, I think it was Ewan Henderson, I believe, against Inverness back in 2023, and obviously they were expelled for the competition. Yeah, so as I say, if it happens, then, and I'm not here to bash Stranraer basher. It was just based that way. It was a case of highlighting the situation. As I say, Joseph is always saying he doesn't call it the Clyde One Super Scoreboard. He thinks it's the Celtic and Rangers phoning. So he said, I get on there and get QP.
There's a supply and demand nature to this, but if you want Queen's Park, I've got their moment. And by the way, you couldn't go to Ibrox and do it again, could you?
Well, he seems to think so. I'm slightly more sensible. Listen, it's not impossible. You know, would lightning strike twice? I thought no, but you've got to be on it to win it, Gordon. So, I would keep my fingers and toes and legs and everything crossed that could happen again. So, he was distraught this morning because he was hoping for a trip to Ibrox. And then he got up first thing this morning and saw the result. Which, to be fair, I think I saw the interview with Sean Crichton, who I think has done a great job since he came in. Lead position is not great, but he's really honest, really kind of forthright guy. He called a spade, and I think he said he just didn't think that Queen's Park were good enough last night. Didn't make an excuse of the situation where the game was suspended for 30 minutes last night.
and also the fact that it was postponed on Saturday, as you mentioned earlier, Gordon. He said that, you know, same for both teams, is very fair. Mm-hmm. He didn't think Queen's Park had done enough on the night. Got off to a great start with Aidan Connolly grabbing a goal, but obviously it didn't play out at the end. And by all intents and purposes, the Hearts goalkeeper, Lyndon Tass, I think he's Tass is his surname. For all intents and purposes, Sean Crichton spoke very highly of him. He said that he'd a cracking match. So things like this young guy's got a good future ahead of him. But what happens with Stranraer, who knows, obviously just need the powers to be to iron that one out, you know.
Tony, before we move on, can you pick Alex Ray up off the floor? He didn't expect somebody to bring up Queen's Park beating Rangers again.
You were just over it,
and we've somehow stumbled back across it.
But listen, it'd be a real bonus for him. It'd be a travesty, really, for Stranraer.
It's so hard, isn't it?
Is there a loophole, if you like, where if it's specific to a loan player?
It was an emergency loan, because their keeper got dragged back on the same. But see that rule, because it's not before the tie was played, mm-hmm. the original tie, that should be scrapped, because the original tie gets postponed. Say it gets postponed 6 weeks and you pass by a window, you should be able to bring players in and play it. I don't understand it.
I think, again, I don't want to prejudge it, I'm obviously miles away from the disciplinary process. I think everything just points to the fact that it's not going to go well for Stranraer. That's the way it looks, because as Graham says, you've got that Queen's Park example, which is pretty similar. But listen, we'll see. I think on a purely, well, human and footballing level and financial, you've got to feel really sorry, because, so first of all, go through it in that order. The players and the fans thought they were getting their big day out to Ibrox. That could be the highlight of some of their playing careers, a great potential occasion for the fans. I think you're talking about maybe £250,000. I saw that figure
massive.
I doubt Stranraer are in a position to turn their nose up at £250,000. They had probably started counting it and what they were going to do with it. So I don't know. You don't want to be that guy that says rules are rules. That might be the way it plays out, but it's a shame.
It's next Wednesday, isn't it?
That probably pays their wages for a full year or more.
It
would be a travesty for me. But the big point is Queen's Park get done with it. So imagine the uproar. If it was another team involved, okay, but because Queen's Park get done with it,
they now then benefit from
you
it.
You then look at it and go, well,
fair's fair.
Fair's fair, aye.
Thank you, Graham. Putting Queen's Park on the map tonight, maybe not in the way expected. Alex Ray can't believe he's had to revisit that day. We're nearly at the year anniversary as well.
We'll do a
commemorative show for you.
I get bumped a couple of weeks later. Thanks for reminding us, mate. What's your name, Graham? Thanks, Graham.
Let's pause for breath and take more of your calls when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Got a good teaser for you.
Nice.
However, beat the pundit was tough. This is tough as well. It's just a tough school in here today. It really is. Well, what I'll do is, Stevie in Aberdeen, it's a brilliant question and he was looking for 7 answers. I'll go charitable on you. I'll cut it to 5, right? I'll tweak the question slightly, but it's still a great question from Stevie. Since 2012, can you name 5 men who've played in Scotland and they have won the UEFA Cup / Europa League at some point in their career? So since 2012, 5 men have played in Scotland and they've won the UEFA Cup / Europa League at some point in their career. Now, what I would say is you are it should be pretty easy to figure out time-wise anyway, but when I say since 2012, that applies to the playing in Scotland, but like they might have won the tournament prior to that. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay, but for most it's actually both within that time. So since 2012, 5 players played in Scotland and they've also at some point in their career won the UEFA Cup or Europa League. Any that spring to mind?
Ahmad Diallo?
Nope.
Manu?
Nope.
Did Arsenal lost to Chelsea, didn't they, in the final? So not Tierney?
Nope.
This could be a long half
an hour. It could. I'm glad we cut it to 5. My goodness.
Try to think.
Okay. Who won the most recent Europa League? That'd be a good place to start, then work backwards maybe.
Tottenham.
Okay.
Who's a Forster?
Yes.
Good shout, Tony.
He wouldn't have played in the final or anything, but we'll give you it. You're actually not done with Tottenham, but I'll give you some thinking time.
Oh, James Maddison.
Yes, okay.
That's a brilliant shout.
Missed the final, but he did play, and of course used to be.
You know you're playing yourself here tonight, don't you?
I'll be telling the boys tomorrow.
Don't worry, by the way.
Do you want me to tell you the two that we cut off?
Go.
So Stevie's original question, he wanted to go back to 2007, and that would have included Andreas Hinkel.
Ooh. What a shout.
he actually played...
Why are you producing this question on a night like this?
I know. And
I've just been beat.
I know it is a bit. And Edgaras Jankauskas, remember him, of Hearts?
Yep.
Seriously.
Was that a Lithuanian guy?
He was with Porto in 2003, a game you may have heard of.
What kind of question is this?
I know it's tricky, but anyway, you've got two of five. You've got Maddison and Forster. So a couple left to get. 01419511025. Let's hear from Danny Rule. We spent a lot of the time talking about Celtic's transfers. Rangers did some business early, didn't they? Chukwuane, Romans and Skov Olsen. Here's what the manager or head coach, I should say, was speaking about today.
Now we come a little bit to the crunch time in the transfer window, and then it's really about timing. Sometimes you have to be a little bit patient. I think you can imagine I knock every day on the door of the recruitment and ask something new. But we made so far a good job. It's about now timing. We have a clear idea and now we have to wait. Maybe there's a domino on the other club and then we can take this opportunity for us.
Interesting, Alex, because it's almost that once you do it, it's early, it calms everything down. People can sort of relax and move on, but that doesn't necessarily mean Rangers are done. Finish, but you can hear them there talking about maybe now waiting to see if there's a domino effect, if they leave and somebody else can take their place and so on. I'm not sure if it was included in there, forgive me, but he was asked, you know, is there scope for a wow signing to really signal your intentions? And he
didn't knock it out of the park, did he?
He said he wasn't going to give too much away because he didn't want it to be a disappointment if it didn't happen. I still think he said more on it than he had to, which left me wondering if there's something big that Rangers are looking to do, whatever that may be.
Possibly, Gordon, I spoke to a friend of mine that's involved at Rangers today and he says there may be another one, possibly two, still to come in the door. So whether that's the case, and again, you may well look at, as you said, the domino effect. And I think that's pretty common across the game where you get someone moves and then obviously there'll be a few other players available. And I think that may well happen as well when you think about Rangers. There's obviously players, you know, you've got Danilo potentially going out the door. You've got Rabi Matondo, Kieran Dowell. So there's guys like that may well free up somewhere else. So I still think there's a wee bit of business maybe. And I quite like the fact that...
Joe Rothwell, could you tempt an English club to take him?
Yeah, I think that's a stick on. I think the job he'd done at Leeds warrants, you know, a potential move down there for him, because I don't see him playing, especially with the new guy coming in as well. And then you've obviously got Nico Raskin in the middle of the park, Diomande. I think they're ahead of the game with...
Even Asgard's came onto a bit of form. He scored a couple of big goals, didn't he?
But I just think that kind of six area where he plays, I think he's down the pecking order. So he could potentially be going out the door as well. So that may well free up money for someone else to come in, Gordon.
Let's bring Eddie, who is a Rangers fan, into the conversation. Eddie, you've got a European game tomorrow. You've obviously got a big weekend coming up, the transfer window. What are you thinking? Eddie, can you hear us?
Yes, I
can. Good, sorry. No, it's probably our fault, Eddie. We've got you now. On you go.
It's okay, thanks for your call. No, I was just listening to the show, guys. Great show as usual. Just a couple of calls. I actually agreed with, there was a Celtic fan on earlier, I'm a Rangers fan myself, talking about transfers. You know, I think Rangers specialists should just concentrate more on the Scottish market. You know, there's a lot of good players kicking about, and I just look back with Rangers with the success going to the European finals, you know, back 2008, 2022 was with 9 British players, and then 2008 I think we had 6 Scottish players in the team and we'd like 6 out of 8 on the bench, and there's just so many good players there. They just know the game. I think there's something about the Scottish game that's different, you know. It's good getting, I think, Skov Olsen is going to be great, you know, you get that kind of quality. But, you know, I just think there's so many good players in the Scottish Premier League. And I think, you know, the likes of Rangers, dare I say, Celtic, you know, should look at that rather than going abroad.
I suppose, let's make it about Rangers, since Eddie's a Rangers fan. It's not like they'd never do it, Alex. So yeah. Conor Barron's been a bit of a success story from this season. He's injured at the moment. Lyle Cameron's found it a bit harder, yep. And now he's gone obviously on loan. But you get those big ones. I assume when you were there, yeah, you wouldn't have had the final say. I'm going to guess that personally you felt Rangers should have signed Lauren Shankland at some point. So it's, yeah, ones like that that people will, yeah, never shake. Is that accurate?
Yeah, listen, I think there's a couple of potential targets. Again, you might look at Cammy Devlin. He's out of contract in the summer. Potentially, could he be there? Does he have enough quality on the ball offensively for Rangers to get to where they need to get to? I'm not sure. But I would most certainly have taken Shanklin. And we obviously made our views known at the particular time. I just thought with Shanks, I think over the years, Rangers have always carried someone like a Shanklin, even at my time there with Stevie Thompson, and then after that came Chris Boyd. So they've always had someone, not necessarily a one or two in the pecking order, but they're always there for the domestic games to score. So there's very much players out there, Gordon, that potentially could come in and do a job. But it's such a kind of international market now, you know, even you look at Celtic, you know, they're starting to... Celtic have historically had lots of guys who are Scottish, and they're kind of reducing as well. So I don't think, even the British game as well, Gordon, you know, when I was down in England, I think you look at Arsenal's of the world, you see them now not even having an Englishman starting for them. So it's really who fits in best for the role. I always like to have a Scottish identity, you know, or someone behind the scenes as well, can advise the manager. Now, Stevie Smith's obviously in there now, knows the Scottish market. And I do feel as if there's a place for Scottish people.
Rangers confirmed. Was that today or yesterday?
Yesterday, I think.
Rangers
it was.
Confirmed that it's gone a bit under the radar that Stevie Smith, because there was a lot of talk, well, much like a role that you did under Philippe Clement, this notion that Danny Rowe would go and appoint a local coach, but in fact, they've confirmed they're going to keep Stevie Smith till the end of the season.
Yeah, and listen, he knows the club inside out, Gordon. He's been working there for a while now in the academy. He stepped up several times as well when it became an interim capacity. So, no, listen, we wish Stevie well. And as I said, I think from that side of the... Especially when you get a foreign... See, trying to imprint how big and how important that is, that Rangers and Celtic's traditions... Yeah. And you're trying to kind of relay that over to the manager and show that. But again, you need that on the park. And, you know, obviously Eddie's made that clear as well, that you have a kind of connection to what the actual history in the club means.
Yeah, I totally agree. Another one you forgot to mention, just because he signed a new contract, I think it was Christmas Day, Halkett. For me, Rangers, shoot on Halkett. Showed they can do well at Hearts. Boys like that, you go and sign, no changing room. I think he got brought up in the academy of Rangers. Mm-hmm. Like you say, that is invaluable, that knowing what Celtic and Rangers are all about in Scotland, how big they are. Sometimes it spooks players that come over and it takes them a while. Going back to the Scott Wilson signing, I don't think Rangers need a wild signing now. I think if they can get one or two other good players in, Scott Wilson's a wild signing.
It's funny because it wasn't a bad question at all, and it got an interesting response. I did wonder when I was in the press conference if Danny Rowe might have taken the chance to be quite clever and say, trying to say the signings we've brought in or not. Yeah. Well, you know, but to be fair, he left the door ajar. It's a big kind of period coming up, Eddie. Europe is, you know, big in a way, but then nothing really to play for on the field. You've got the game at the weekend, of course, whilst Hearts and Celtic play each other. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think just on that as well, just with Scottish players as well, but even for some foreign players have been in the game for a while. It's a lot of me and my mates think, you know, like say Big Gogic, it's at Mum. We've always thought he'd be a cracking signing. But yeah, to be honest with you, I speak to my pal earlier on as well there. I would rest some players. Europe's gone now. I agree with the guys earlier on there. We don't want to finish bottom, you know, a league of 32, whatever it is. But, I mean, I think we'd have enough just to change a few things, because there's a title race on now, you know, you can see that. So, yeah, I would just rest a couple of players and see where it goes. Obviously, the new signings, aren't they going to get a go with the registration thing coming in? But it's something earlier on as well, Tony said there about the Hearts-Celtic game, what Rangers fans are looking for.
Telling the truth, Eddie.
I think a draw would be a good result.
That's what I said.
I can assure Tony there's no Rangers fan wanting Celtic to win that game.
If the draw wasn't an option, who would you rather win, Hearts or Celtic?
Hearts.
There you go. Right, we're going to speak to Brian, who's a Partick Thistle fan. I'm looking forward to this when we return. And you need more thinking time in this teaser, don't you?
A couple of hours, yeah.
Okay, we'll speak to Brian next.
Number number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's show with Tony Watt and Alex Ray. Very quickly, I gave you thinking time on Stevie's teaser that he sent in. It's a cracker. Since 2012, five men have played in Scotland, but they've also won the UEFA Cup or Europa League at some point in their career. James Maddison, Fraser Forster, and was that it so far?
Mikey Moore, I'm going for.
Oh, well done, Mikey Moore, yep. Did you get any other ones before the break? No, was that it?
No.
Maddison, Forster, Moore. Two to get then? Okay, let's bring in Brian, who I've been waiting for this, Brian, all night. I was hoping it would come, a Partick Thistle fan, to grill your striker and your assistant manager. Take it away.
Thanks, Gordon. Yeah, I heard you use a phrase, supply and demand there with the Queen's Park fan, so I thought I'd give two Partick Thistle employees a chance to talk about Partick Thistle.
Go for it.
Alex, if I can ask you first.
Sure, mate.
I'm not expecting specifics. I would love them, but just a kind of general view on the transfer window, how you and Mark have found it. I know you were getting support from Ian Barraclough. You've managed at this level before, sure. Obviously. Is it a difficult window, or are you going to be able to achieve what you want to do?
Yeah, listen, it's always difficult, especially when you've got loan players as well, because you're never quite sure whether, like Ocean going back to St Mirren. So, you know, that was a blow, really, because he'd fitted in brilliantly, and there's still an option for us to bring him back if St Mirren
still
allows
hopeful
it.
Of that?
We are hopeful, and obviously, he was down the pecking order there before these players get injured, you know, like Bakunas and O'Hara and guys like that. Yeah. So, but hopefully we may well get him back.
Do you always fear that? Do you know, like, obviously you know it's a possibility, or does it feel like the rug's pulled a wee bit? I'm thinking Motherwell in a similar situation with Stephen Welsh, you know. As it got closer, did you and Mark worry that he could go back?
Well, it wasn't just him now. There was obviously other loan players, and especially when you're doing well, you're never quite sure whether you're going to lose him. So that's no, loan players are no the ideal situation if you're trying to build, but we are where we are, and the boys that have come in have done brilliant, and we've been trying to work since day one, you know, and it's been a really frustrating thing. We're hoping to bring in another couple of players, and then maybe one or two might go out as well. So it's just a work in progress, really, Brian, and we're constantly at it, and Ian's working, and we've obviously had the recruitment Lee as well. So we're constantly looking to try and get some business. I actually think January is important because of the squad. I think when you always add one or two players as well, I think it's a little boost for the squad. We are a very close knit. We're just talking about that with Tony there during the break, the pros and cons of what we've got at the moment. I've mentioned that I've been up in the lounges prior to the games. We alternate, Mark and I, and I can't speak highly enough about the group. I actually love the working with them, their enthusiasm. There's a lot of young guys, there's some great old pros as well, and we're actually having a decent enough season, and it's enjoyable. And I think when you go into your work looking forward to the next game and the challenges ahead, obviously, as soon as this window shuts, it'll be better, man, because it's driving me mad, because you think you're getting a player in and it doesn't quite work.
Everybody says it's tough, you know, and it's a kind of stock phrase, but you're finding it difficult.
It's just a constant, you know, because there's an expectation with the fans as well, Gordon. Obviously, Brian's on there, and I think most people want to bring one or two players in, fresh and squad up, and some people maybe not get minutes, may well be going out the other way. So, again, you just want to keep refreshing things. You want to keep all the players hungry and enthusiastic. And I think when you get fresh faces, that happens.
This is your chance, Brian. We're very well connected at Partick Thistle, in case you hadn't noticed. Tell them what you as
what
a
do we need?
What do you need? But you're not allowed to say somebody to take Tony Watt's place. That would be too awkward.
I think what we want is a squad that's enhanced and improved, and not, you know, not a lesser squad at the end of the window. That we're second place in the league. A chance of quarterfinals in the Scottish Cup.
And we're
all fans are just hoping that the squad does improve. We appreciate players can come and go at the, you know, at the snap of a finger at the end of the window, and you can be left exposed. But we just want to, you know, we're hoping that collectively there can be a way found that we can improve the squad. So that, because I don't know, we're speaking to Tony, like, hopefully just ask a question to Tony about his experience so far, how much he's enjoyed it, but you know, how much he believes we can actually achieve something special this season.
As if he doesn't jump ship in January.
Yeah, listen, he wasn't enjoying it yesterday when he got a bad decision, Brian, believe me.
He's got previous for jumping ship in January.
I've not picked my toys up yet. I hope I'll get them at Peter's Hill.
Enjoy it though.
Yeah, I love it. It's, like you say, it's good. It's, we all challenge each other. We're all wanting to win. We're all fighting and arguing, and that's a sign of a good change. You know, fighting for decisions. We're all, every day training is competitive. I think that's Al can confirm that. And look, At the start of the season, nobody gave us a chance. When I signed, I spoke to the manager, obviously I won't say what the ambitions were, but they were good. But then I go on, see when I sign, I see what people are saying, Partick Thistle won't finish in the playoffs, they'll maybe scrape fourth. I think we've been really good, and I think I genuinely think we can kick on and continue to be good. We've got a good group. Obviously, you want competition for places. It's always healthy. We spoke about that. You want people to push you. If you're a player in a position and there's nobody else next to you, there's, for me, a good chance you get complacent.
Yeah, comfort zone.
If there's somebody pushing behind you, I think that's when you know you need to perform. And if you come out of team once, then you need to perform even stronger to get back in.
There is not a chance Thistle can waste whatever small resources they have on a wage rise for you, Alex Ray, but talk me through this. I see Ben Stanway a couple of weeks ago firing one in the top corner. After the game, he says, Alex Ray was teaching me how to do that in training yesterday, and today I pick up the newspaper to see that Aberdeen are trying to sign him. You're not here at commission?
No. Listen, it doesn't surprise me that there's people swarming around. A few of our players actually, and Ulstan, he's done brilliant, and he's been really good, and I think that there's been a steady progress with him. And I think if you get a midfielder with goals, and listen, we're trying our best to retain him. We've offered him, you know, an improved deal just to try and keep him there. He knows the club, but he's an ambitious boy as well, so listen, we'll need to see how that one plays out, and it would be disappointing but if he did leave, but we're hoping that he can at least stay to the summer, and then we'll go for there.
You back that up, Brian, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. Ben Stanley's been brilliant for us. You can see the improvement this season as well, and he's got a great head and the shoulders, to use a football cliche. So the longer we can keep Ben, the better. Absolutely. Final thing would be, Alex, sorry, sure. has the cup run, you know, improved what you've got to play with in any way? I know we've not had a money spinning tie, but we do have prize money, and we've got the prospect of the quarterfinals.
Good to say, he's putting them under pressure now. I
really don't know where it stands, mate, in terms of, we've still got to contend with Elgin. We haven't had a televised one in the Scottish Cup as well. I'll be honest with you, Inverness last week was a blow for us, because Mark was pretty much adamant we wanted to go into the latter stages. So when we lost, we scored three, and obviously we conceded three and lost in penalties, so it was a real kind of a downer, really, because we really wanted to progress and give that competition the respect as well. But anyway, we've got a chance to get to the quarterfinals, so whether that yields some money down the line, and again, if we could get through against Elgin, but that's February now, that would leave a potential loan deal, I think. Yeah. Somewhere down there, so that it may well free up some cash that we could get a loan deal in.
Thank you very much to Brian. Some good questions put to the Partick Thistle contingent on the show this evening. Probably be the last call, looking at the time on there. I was thinking about last week when you were, was it last Thursday you were on? Yep. And I always say this about this show, you're kind of hoping that somebody speaks to you in the street and see your cutting edge analysis on Celtic striking situation last week. Oh, brilliant, honestly, what an insight you gave, or that bit you said about Partick Thistle. But all I'm getting on social media, because I think we've posted the clip, is an argument about which order you read your phone number in. So somehow me, you and Gordon Dale, these things tend to happen when he's around, we get into a bit of a debate about the formation in which you read your phone number in. Now, I'd forgotten about it, but now we've put the video up, and I'm a big 5-3-3 man. I'm getting great feedback from Kieran, who backs me. Andrew Barkley, 5-3-3 all day. It's made its way to the former footballer. David Templeton sent a message in.
What's he going?
He's a 5-3-3
well,
man.
Do you know what? I was in my bed one night and I'd done a VAR check in my head. And do you know what? I agree with you. I thought I was.
You
two,
said last week.
I thought it was 2-3-3-3. Oh, and then see, the more I think about it, fault. I'm 5-3-3.
I knew you'd come round. Right, two more who have played in Scotland since 2012 and won the Europa League or UEFA Cup. James Maddison, Fraser Foster, Mikey Moore. One probably overlapped with you at Celtic.
Mika?
Nope. He won the UEFA Cup with Feyenoord in 2002. And he was in the same squad as you at Celtic.
No
centre back. Yeah. Or kind of, yeah, defender anyway. Dutch.
Glenn Leuven?
Glenn Leuven's.
Ah.
And
he won
the 2002 Feyenoord. Yeah. And the last one. This is going to bring back a lot of bad memories for Rangers fans in a number of ways. Because he wasn't very good at Rangers. And he won the Europa
striker.
League with Frankfurt.
No, the big striker.
Sadiq.
Sam Lammers.
Big Sam, aye, right.
Thank you to Alex and Tony. Don't fall out at training tomorrow. We're back at 6 on Thursday.